You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flueckiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the show today. Welcome to LA Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Ultimate Life. I am so excited to be here. You know, I've been watching the news like I'm sure all of you have, and we've got stuff going on all over the world. And Florida right now is just getting ready to get hit with a second hurricane in as many weeks. And like everything else these days in the U.S., now, those of you that know me know I live in Canada, but I'm a U.S. citizen. So Joy and I, we're both dual nationals, so we watch the U.S. stuff with great interest. The crazy elections that are going on down there and everybody calling everybody names and stuff. And then we've got these natural disasters, a second hurricane in just about 2 weeks or so, going to hit Florida and cause another, presumably, bunch of damage and, you know, scary stuff. You know, the fatality count of the first one, Helene, is over 200, 220 or 30 or something. And still, who knows how many people missing. So what is it a good way for us to talk today about your ultimate life? I've talked a lot about fear and things to avoid, and last week we talked about how to start right where you are to create your ultimate life. So before I dig into the topic today, which is completely different, approaching it from a completely different angle, I want to make sure that we're kind of agreed, not even kind of agreed. So right now, since we're not in front of each other, and I wish we were, I want you to think about what is your ultimate life? And usually when I ask that sort of thing, and I ask it a lot to people, and the first answer is always, all the money I want. And the second answer is, all the time I want. And the third answer is, all the freedom I want. Okay. Money doesn't buy happiness. And time, everybody's got exactly the same amount, so you already have all the time there is. And you already have all the freedom there is. Like, you can choose to do whatever you want with your time. You have a story about consequences, so we're not going to get into that today because we're going to talk about a different approach to thinking about it. But I want to debunk the idea. You have all the time there is. You have all the time anyone anywhere has. You have absolute sovereignty and freedom to do what you want. If you argue with that, it cannot be otherwise than from a point of view of feeling like somebody already owns you or a piece of you. You've got obligations or things you, quote, have to do. You may well have commitments, and you may well feel really strongly about doing them, in which case I urge you to give in to your better nature and complete the commitments you've made. But the minute you start feeling like you're in prison, you need to examine your own mindset. Because if you're in prison, you made it. All the commitments you have are yours. You agreed to them. And you can complete them with joy and leaning in. I mean, you made them for a reason, right? And so I want that to be the sort of the framework that we start. You have all the time there is. You have absolute freedom with what you do with every moment. And money was the third one. Money is easy to make. Money is simple. It is not hard to make. There is more money than we know what to do with. There's an infinite amount of money available, not to mention the government keeps printing it, but okay. So let's start with that. Today, what I want to talk about is a different kind of approach. And I named this episode, Why Choosing Kindness, Service, and Generosity is the fastest way to create a fulfilling life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, you'll recognize purpose, prosperity, and joy is the description I use, not money, time, and freedom. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. And I live that ultimate life. I live a life every day where I love every minute of it. I get up excited, and it's even when tough things are happening. For example, today, I got up, and this is about the fifth or sixth day in a row on my left knee. I've got this big bump, but not on the knee, but below it. And I don't know what happened. I think a couple weeks ago, I fell down and it may have become gradually infected or something. So I went to the doctor and it hurts. And so he gave me some antibiotics and they're pretty strong ones. And they've warned me about, you know, digestive issues and some other stuff. I mentioned that not because anybody should think anything about it, but because that stuff happens. It's happening to me right now. And you know what? I still love every minute of every day. Every minute I was sitting in the doctor's office waiting, and every minute I'm sitting here now wondering if my stomach's going to, like, revolt on me and all the rest. I love my life. And I say that not to say what's wrong with you, but to invite you to that place. Because it wasn't very many years ago that I hated my life. I hated what I did for work. I hated how I felt. I hated this, that, and the other. So I know from very firsthand personal experience, you can go from hating it to loving absolutely every minute. So let's go into the topic today. Why choosing kindness, service, and generosity is not a way, but the fastest way to create a life, a fulfilling life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Now, you might already be revolting and thinking this is going to be some kind of a do-gooder talk, and in some ways it is. Let's talk about how our bodies work. I want you to think about the last time you sincerely thought about someone, Christmas, birthday, maybe no special day, but you just thought about really making an effort to do something to make someone feel good, to help them in some way. Maybe it was to alleviate difficulty. Right now, with the stuff going on in Florida, there's thousands, tens of thousands of people volunteering, driving, flying down there just to go see what they can do to help. Why would they do that? Like, what is it in them, you, me, us as humans, that make us want to do that? Well, the answer is we were truly made to love and serve each other. That's what we were built to do. You know how I know? People that do that live longer. People that live with anger and greed die sooner. And the reason I ask you to think about the last time you made a real effort to help someone, I was going to ask you, how did that feel? What happened in your body and in your spirit? Well, you already know, and you can probably remember it fondly. You did something, someone was so appreciative, they were surprised, perhaps, and grateful. And there's something about that that even if nobody else knows, and we know what it is, it's not a mystery, there's neurochemistry in us that happens. Oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin, positive neurotransmitters get released in some chemical formula, and we feel good, we feel exciting. Second example. I learned this that I'm going to tell you right now in a class that I took, I don't know, 12 or 13 or something years ago. Our church was having a marriage thing led by some counselors that were in our church, and they were just offering this to married couples. And so Joy and I volunteered to go, and it was really enjoyable. And we really, you know, enjoyed the process of learning each other's love languages and talking and discussing things that maybe we hadn't taken time to discuss, et cetera, et cetera. It was really powerful. But one of the things we learned was about hugging. Now, hugging, we all know what a hug is, right? There's a time associated with a hug. When you hug somebody, not just sort of a polite hug, but you really hug somebody, it takes a few seconds. But after about 8 seconds, you feel different. The body releases oxytocin, and you sort of melt into each other. Now, I'm not talking about sensual. I'm just talking about the human connection. Isn't that interesting? We are built to feel that. Try it. Try hugging someone that, you know, and really hugging them for 8 seconds. Now, if that's weird, you might want to tell them ahead of time. And if it's not, just notice what you feel. My point in this is that we really are built to love and serve, and the more we do it, the better we feel. Think about that. Joy. The more we do that, the better we feel. So choosing a life, I wrote it down here, choosing a life of kindness, service, and generosity. So I have thousands thousands of examples in my own life, both from me and from people that I've worked with as clients, where this is true. People will come to me, and one of the things we always talk about is their personal life, even if we're doing business coaching. What's going on in your personal life? Is it smooth? Is it good? Is it, you know, is it happy for you? And inevitably, if it's not, it's affecting their business. And if it is, that's also positively affecting their business. And people will often ask about a difficult situation. Sometimes it's with an employee, and often it's with, you know, a domestic relationship at home. And so, because I'm a coach and because I'm experienced in this, I'll make some suggestions. And always, without fail, 100%, when the suggestion is followed and it involves kindness, generosity, and love, they come back with a positive report. And often the positive report is way bigger than they thought. Way bigger than they thought. In other words, the reaction was much more robust, much more fun, you know, a lot more deepening of the relationship, etc., than they imagined that it would be. So that's just a fact. If you right now are not living with a healthy dose every day of kindness, service, and generosity, you're missing out. You're missing out on some of the purest and most lasting joys of our lives. So today we're going to talk about 10 reasons, 10 ways, 10 processes. Maybe we'll get to all of them and maybe we don't, maybe we won't, about how this is really true. So I want to start by affirming with everything that I am, this is really true. Kindness, generosity, and service is the fastest way to have a life that you love and be fulfilled. And I include in that purpose, prosperity, and joy. A lot of times when people talk about being happy, right, they think somehow it excludes cash, money, making enough to live comfortably and do good stuff, other stuff. It doesn't. It's squarely in the middle. I include it, and it is not left out in the cold in this conversation. All right. So there's a couple of reasons I wanted to talk about this. First of all, I sincerely experience that generosity, kindness, and service are really the fastest way to have a life I love every day. You know what else it does, and this is not going to be a surprise to you, you make the world around you better. People like you more. They like being around us when we're that way. When was the last time you hated being around someone who was being joyful and helpful? Kindness, generosity. The only reason we do that is if we are so stuck in our own negative stories and negative feeling and negative thinking that it creates this big conflict and it's like uncomfortable to be around someone who's happy, joyful, and generous, right? And then you've probably felt that before. So I'm challenging you. This episode today is a challenge. I challenge you to add 10% to your generosity tomorrow. Whatever you do, the words you say, the smiles you give, the attention you pay, kindness. Kindness doesn't cost anything except our own attitude. It is others-focused, and it is a choice of giving. Let me give you an example that just happened a half an hour ago. Just before I'm doing this live broadcast, I have a lesson with a vocal coach that I have, and I've had for many years, 10 years, I think. And you may know I sing, and if you don't, go on Spotify, look up my name, Kellen Flukiger, and there's lots of songs on there where I've commercial release or on Apple and iTunes and Spotify. And 30 or 40 of the 90 songs I have there, probably about 40, are songs with, you know, pop style, 3.5 to 4 minutes kind of thing that tell stories. And they're stories of encouragement, and some of them are stories of empathy and kindness and growth and stuff. So you can see the music that I have. Anyway, I'm having this lesson, and I'm working on a particular song, and this one's not, it is up. It is up on, I was going to say it's not up yet, but it is. And it's called I Will Hold Your Heart. So I'm practicing with him, because I already sing. I sung it in the studio. It's recorded and done. But I'm working on and have done some concerts. And I'm going to do some more later this year. And next year I do concerts where I tell stories from the songs and then sing songs. And it's fun to do. And I like doing, you know, performing in that way. And it's just a great thing. And sometimes I have charities that I'll have sponsor, and then the proceeds of the concert go to the charity, that sort of thing. Anyway, he works with me on presentation, and he's an A-list guy. He's got, has had a very, very high profile list of clients on the theater, on stage, singing, speaking, that kind of stuff. So he's quite good at that. And as we were working today, he talked about the emotion of the song and projecting that. So he asked me what the story of the song was and what it meant, and talked him through it. And he said, I'm not feeling that, not feeling that thing. So I sat quietly for a moment and felt into the story. And then I sang just the first verse. And the intensity of expression of the emotion was so much that I began to get emotional and I had to stop. But he stopped me and he said, oh my gosh, such a complete difference. Now, the words were the same, the music was the same, everything was the same. The difference was simply the intent and intensity of expression. So what does that have to do with today? Well, it is everything. Kindness, generosity, and service are not just words. Hello, how are you? And being kind or holding the door for someone or carrying something for someone or helping someone pick up a mess or whatever it is. Those are the actions. Singing was the action. What he helped me see and then do was, I'm going to put power in this action by what I'm creating in myself. So that has everything to do with kindness, generosity, and service. Your choice about how you show up as you do your acts of kindness, generosity, and service changes the game completely. Changes the game completely. All right. So that's the stage we're setting today to talk about these things. Now, the first thing I want to do is talk about some science. Now, I mentioned the fact that we have neurotransmitters, and those neurotransmitters are associated with kindness, generosity, and service, love, compassion, those kinds of feelings toward others make us feel good. When they're directed at us, they make us feel good. You know, it just feels good. Well, that's the neurotransmitters. You know what? You, and this is, we're here talking about how to create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy, or your words. You can create that feeling anytime you want. if you're stuck feeling sorry for yourself or frustrated or unhappy at how something's going. Sorry, I'm hiccuping. Unhappy about how something's going. Get off your ass and go help somebody. Go find someone who needs your help in your church, in your community, down the street. Intentionally go find somebody to help. It will create the chemistry of love and kindness. You will feel better right now. Not tomorrow, not someday down the road. You'll feel better right now. What does that mean? That means that you have in your ability right now the power to feel good, no matter what's going on. And you don't have to go out of your house and, you know, take a walk down the street to find somebody that needs some help. Make a phone call. Send a message. Scroll through your Facebook feed and see who needs love and attention right now. Not scrolling with the idea of who can entertain me with a, you know, Cats on Roller Skates video or who can help me, but go at it with the idea of who can I serve. I can promise you, if you want to change your mood and your feeling, that'll work every time today, right now. I dare you to try it. I'd love for you to share your experiences with me. Reach out. The best way to get a hold of me is KellenFlukigerMedia.com. My name, KellenFlukigerMedia.com, tells you all the stuff that I'm doing, but it also has ways to get a hold of me. So go there. I'd love to hear what your results were. Now, this is backed by science. There have been numerous studies where people just choose to go serve, go do stuff, be kind, acts of kindness, words of kindness, you know, generosity, even small things, smiles and stuff like that. People feel better. People feel better. Now, there's another place where this really matters, and that's in the mental health arena. As someone who struggled with MDD, major depressive disorder, and depending on the shrink I talked to, a couple of them said it might be bipolar stuff. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But having deeply and furiously struggled with that to the point that it got in the way of my life badly and wrecked a bunch of things, that story's for another time. I know what it means to be able to change how you feel. One of the things that I did when I started consciously working on my mental health was not just go see what kind of a pill to take that would artificially change the balance of neurotransmitters. Of course, I did experiment with those too, but I found that loving people on purpose, finding places and times to do that, changed my mental health more and faster. Right now, I didn't have to wait for a week for the bioavailability accumulation of some chemical to get high enough to make a difference. How nuts is that? You can feel good right here, right now. So there's a positive societal impact, and there's a positive mental health impact on your mood anytime you want. Just go do something good. Okay, let's talk for a minute about generosity. When we're trying to build our fortunes, you know, get our bank accounts built up and have more something than somebody does, some arbitrary thing, maybe somebody we saw on TV or a study we read in the newspaper, you might think that generosity would be the antithesis of that. Well, there's a couple of reasons that's not true. Choosing to be generous makes you wealthy. And I can hear it already, Kellen, you're crazy. So there's several reasons that this is true. When I am generous, and I know this is true with you, and if it's not, you can challenge me. Reach out and challenge me. When you or I are generous, we feel good, right? It feels good to help someone, to serve them, to give, you know, to make a meal for someone that needs it, maybe in your community or your church, or go volunteer when there's been some difficulty. That's the same feeling going on in Florida and some of the other, North Carolina and all the other states right now. People, you feel good when you are generous. There's some fallout to that. When you feel good, you radiate energy and light. When you radiate energy and light, you or I, we become attractive. We are heliotropic beings. We're attracted to light. So if I'm generous and I'm buzzing with the glow of generosity, guess what? People want to talk to you. People want to be around you. You know what that is? That's opportunity all over the place for networking, for connection, and for business and growth. I can't tell you how many opportunities I have experienced just because I walk around happy all the time. People want to talk to you. When they do, they share more with you, and you can find ways to serve. When you find ways to serve, you find ways to create business. You find ways to support each other in your mission, your purpose in life. And since you're trying to live the ultimate life, purpose is right up there at the top. And when you're able and willing to share that with others and ask about theirs, you'd be amazed. Blow your mind how many opportunities there are to do joint ventures or things together that create wealth, good feelings, growth, and all the rest. So choosing to be generous makes you rich. There's another piece to this, and if you've read the book called Influence by Robert Cialdini, it's fabulous. He talks about ways that influence is created, and one of them he called reciprocity. And there's a thing in us humans, when somebody does something nice for you, or for me, we feel a need, we want to reciprocate. Sometimes as much as we can do is sincerely say, thank you, that means so much. But often, depending on the circumstance, we'll want to do more. We feel like serving back. We feel like giving back. Okay, so being generous activates light. It activates attractiveness in you. It activates the feeling of reciprocity. Now, you might think these things are woo-woo and weird, and the answer is they're not. And you can argue with me all you want, but if you do, you're just missing out. FOMO, fear of missing out. You are missing out. But you won't know how much until you dive in and get involved. All right. There are all kinds of spiritual implications here. You know, give and it shall, ask and ye shall receive, give and it shall be given, do unto others. All kinds of things that are the same, illustrate the same point. And here's the other thing. Generosity creates a real flow in the abundance of life. Like there's infinite wealth. If I'm greedy and I hold it, then I'm a barrier to that flow. If I give freely and share freely, I'm a conduit and more comes. I can personally tell you how true that is. I get lots of opportunity to talk to people, to serve them and help them. And because I'm a coach, I'm often really, really good at it and can say and help with just the right things. And I do that so often, and I don't even worry about business or clients or anything else. I just do it for love, and my return is off the charts. So I can tell you that that works also. So here's another thing that you can do that is a way to build your ultimate life, and this goes back now to service. So we talked about kindness, generosity, and service. When you serve with someone, you create relationships. I'll give you an example. One of the things that I used to do, I don't live at the right place now, but when Joy and I lived in Phoenix, the church that I belong to has a big facility there that cans tomatoes and salt, makes salsa and does other kinds of things. So people donate. They had some land and farm, you know, church farm. And so all that gets harvested and it's brought to this canning facility. And people volunteer their time to go make tomato sauce or salsa or whatever is on the menu, right? When you go there and work for an afternoon, 4 or 5 hours with a group of people, and you're getting a little dirty from tomato sauce, and you're busy filling cans up with this and that, getting them all organized, and then there's a lot of machinery, and it gets strapped up in pallets and put in trucks for delivery to various, you know, charity distribution centers and all that kind of stuff. My point is you create relationships. You learn each other's name. You learn why they're there and why you're there. And you learn about each other. And you know what else you know most importantly about each other? You're both full of generosity and love. And so you have an immediate camaraderie. You create real connections. And sometimes those connections last a long time. So a choice to go serve. I don't know if you've ever, one of the things I did is I went to one of those farms and I, you know, in the Saturday morning sun with a hoe, a physical hoe, I hoed sugar beets, pulled the weeds out and, you know, did that for 4 or 5 hours on a Saturday morning. And you know what? You're in a row with 50 other people or 20 other people. Again, you create relationships, relationships based on love. Because you're serving, you both already feel good with those neurotransmitters. What a perfect way to create connection and service. Meaningful relationships can and have started for me in that process. Okay, now here's another one. I say your ultimate life is purpose, prosperity, and joy, and you're substituting whatever word you want. My disaster life was before I was 52. When I was 52, I had a major divine intervention and just switched my whole direction in life. But I had to build a new life. I had to build, who am I then? If I'm not this executive doing this, and I'm not this person who's had all these struggles and everything, if I'm not that, who am I? I had to create that. And I can tell you that this kindness, generosity, and service was a big piece of that creation. By making a choice personally to live in love and service, I've discovered and declared my life purpose. And I've shared it with you many times. This year, my life purpose is to help 250 million people, you, realize who you are as a divine being with infinite capability, and then motivate you to do something about it. Motivate you to love and serve and lift and bless others on purpose, regularly, and create purpose, prosperity, and joy for yourself. Eliminate fear. You know, I'm doing a podcast series right now, and I recorded episode 3 and 4 today. 8 episodes about fear, things that we're afraid of and how that gets in the way of our growth and prosperity and so forth. One of the most effective gas, fuel to create your ultimate life and live in joy every day is a purpose. And my purpose is to serve, to encourage. One of the ways I say it is I am the ultimate catalyst for personal transformation. Think about the transformation I went into. What I say then is, in a practical expression, I provide frameworks, tools, examples, encouragement, energy, and sometimes permission to those ending addiction to mediocrity. Ooh, that's some fighting words. Most of us live settling far below our capabilities. Most of us have this feeling we know we could do more, we could be more, we could have a bigger impact. If I could just, you know, that feeling, you can. And my whole life in business is spent helping you understand that you can, believe that you can, and then show you how to create your own purpose, massive wealth, and in the process, awesome joy at being alive every day. That's what I do. We call it coaching, but it's way deeper than that. It is changing what we believe about ourselves so that we can get the most out of life by giving the most into life. Life is the ultimate example of you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. If I don't put any effort and energy into it, I don't get much. When I pour my heart and soul into books, into this show, into everything I do, I am richly rewarded beyond my ability to describe. Guess what? The reward is the ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. So I want to give you another example that's become popular in the last few years, and maybe it's been popular before that. And this is the idea of pay it forward. Now, you know what that is. I can tell you several examples. There's a Starbucks example where someone in line will, you know, will pay for the person behind them. And then the person gets up and orders their stuff and, well, it's already been paid for. Another place that has happened is on bridge tolls. Now, most bridge tolls are automatic, but I did that. You know, I went through a toll and I paid the toll for the guy behind me. And, you know, it's funny to watch the look of confusion. This is called the ripple effect, right? You throw a rock in a pond, there's ripples. It keeps going out. Well, you have the ability to create a ripple effect. Think about a surprise party you've thrown for someone. Think about an act of kindness that you did that nobody even knows you did it. Completely anonymous. One of the things that I love doing with my kids when they were little is my wife at the time would make pumpkin bread. And make 10 or 12 loaves of this. And it was quite good. And so I would take the kids and we'd go to people's doors and we'd knock on the door and leave the carefully and beautifully Christmas wrapped package or loaf of pumpkin bread. And we ran away and they never knew who it was, etc. And we did that every year. That was fun. It became a tradition. It was a source of joy. And here's the key. As fun as those things are by themselves, the cumulative effect of who you and I become when we do that kind of stuff, when we live that kind of life, look for opportunities to serve, look for places where we can create that ripple, look for someone and somewhere that needs kindness, be the one to step in and love and lift. You, who you are, changes. You become more powerful. You become more beautiful. You become more substantive. And you know what? Like I said before, that kind of substance gives light. Light is attractive. And when you attract people, you attract opportunities and situations. You attract new friends. You attract business opportunities. And you know what else happens? It creates trust. When I've gone into a new business opportunity or conversations about a new business opportunity, one of the first questions everybody asks themselves is, yes, all sounds good, but can I trust him? Can I trust him? When you, and this is from personal experience, when you build up a reservoir of light because you're acting in generosity, kindness, and service all the time, and you choose of your own free will, that's how you want to be, you carry an aura of authenticity. You carry an aura of an energy of trustworthiness, and people trust you. People take you at your word. Yeah, I'll do that. And I've done deals of hundreds of thousands of dollars solely on a handshake. I haven't done multi-million dollar deals that way yet, but I will. Hundreds of thousands on a handshake. This is what we're going to do. Everybody agrees. And because the energy of trust and the energy of kindness and service is part of the aura, if you will, of the parties, the deal gets done. Nobody thinks about it again. And there is trust. That comes from generosity, kindness, and service. Now there's another one I want to get to. I won't get to all of them today, but there's two or three more that I want to get to. Here's what I've noticed. Kindness, my choosing to be kind just because I can, has been an exponential accelerator on my personal growth. So when I changed my life from being a drug addict and all the things that happened, I had to radically change everything in 2007. It was a lot of work. I had to go to counselors and I had to be honest with myself about who I was and learn to tell the truth, which I didn't do very well at before. You can imagine some of the things that I was doing in life, you hide them, right? So you look for ways. And going to shrinks is one way, reading books is a way, and everything else. One of the most powerful tools that I discovered that helped me change from a fearful, self-sabotaging, self-loathing person struggling with depression to a person full of light, love, and joy. It was to choose to do simple acts of kindness. So my rule was, whenever I went to an event, or when I would go to the store or anywhere, I would look for places to be kind. I would look for people that needed help with bags or doors or any kind of situation. I would on purpose let people take parking spaces. I would intentionally do little acts of kindness, not to be silly, not to have them wave, not to do anything. And here's what I found. I found that my spirit was light and it was easier to avoid depression, self-sabotage. That inner critic that we all have was quieter and eventually shut up entirely. So making a choice to do these acts of kindness was a huge catalyst for me in my personal growth journey. There's another thing, and that is we use the word ego. Now, you're not born with an ego. A baby doesn't have an ego. An ego is a construct. It's an invention. It's an idea of who we think we are. And if we think people don't like us, then our ego's bruised and we act a certain way. If we believe people do like us, then we act differently. If we believe we're really valuable, then we act a certain way. If we believe we suck and we're not worth much, we act a different way. And I could give 100 examples of all those things, but you know what I'm talking about. Our ego, there's nothing good that comes from that creation. We defend it. We protect it. You know, you insulted me. We go down this road of protecting this imaginary thing because it's not real. You can't point to it. You can't bring it in a box. It is a structure that we invent, and the elements of that structure are what we believe others think of us and what we think of ourselves. So when you take what we believe about ourselves and what others think of us, or what we think they think of us, that's funny because it's actually once removed, right? We have no idea what people are thinking most of the time. And even when they say something, we really have no idea what they're thinking. So we take this imaginary thing and we turn it into something that we defend and fight for tooth and nail. Isn't that silly? In my own development, creating personal or purpose, prosperity, and joy, a life that I love every single day and I can't wait to live, eliminating the ego, my need to be right, my need to be looked up to, my need to be acknowledged, my need to be important, my need to protect myself and my fragile ego or fragile feelings. The more that I just blow that off and just live, again, with generosity, kindness, and service as my guideposts, the ego just sort of evaporates. I no longer care what people think because I know what I'm doing, kindness, generosity, and service. So here's my experience. When I live on purpose with kindness, generosity, and service as my flags, those are the standards, those are the things that I choose to do, my ego never gets bruised. I never feel bad or hurt. I become more attractive. I attract more business. I make more money, and I have a heck of a lot more fun. My day, every day, is not filled at all with worry, with jealousy, with envy, or with any of those negative emotions that drag us down. Now, you might think I'm nuts, but I can remember when that's all I experienced: fear, procrastination, self-sabotage, anger, negative feelings towards other, thinking they were out to get me, you know, paranoia, all that kind of stuff. I remember when that's all I felt. And so when I tell you today, I don't feel experience any of that. That's quite a shift. And it is so joyful. So I started today, this episode, wanting you to realize we've talked about specific things about how to get rid of fear, and I've given you some books to read if you do, if you want to, and if you really want to get rid of it. Today, I'm just issuing you, I'm giving you a bunch of information, scientific, hormone, neurotransmitter-based information, et cetera, et cetera. But the point is to invite you to look at yourself. When you look at how you live on a sort of stasis basis, are you generally happy and excited? Are you generally neutral? Are you generally looking out for trouble? Where are you? I call it the ladder of consciousness. That's not my original title. I got it from somebody. The ladder of consciousness, all the way from fear and death at the bottom to enlightenment and love and kindness and creativity at the top. Where are you? I can promise you that if you hang the flags of kindness, generosity, and service, you're going to live way up the ladder. And living up the ladder means you have more light, you have more love, life is more fun, and joy is just in abundance. Now, I want to just add one note here. I'm not pretending that you don't have to watch out for yourself, or, you know, you're running around letting everybody take advantage of you. I'm not talking about that. We need to be careful. You wouldn't just run out in a street relying on the kindness of someone not to hit you. Maybe they see you, maybe they don't. So I'm not saying you give away everything you've got and you open your home and invite everybody in. I'm not talking about that. So if you're going there with any of your rebuttal about what I'm talking about, you can drop that because that's not what I mean. I mean in every interaction, and this is the challenge. I don't know when you're going to hear this. Take the rest of today, all the rest of the hours, and utter every word in kindness. Make a conscious choice to look at each person with love. They're a divine being. They came from the same place you did. They have the same worries and fears and concerns that you used to have before you decided not to worry about them anymore. I challenge you to intentionally live with love and service, generosity, kindness on your lips, in your eyes, in your hands, in your arms. Take the extra moment. Pay attention. So much we live locked in our own world of worrying about this and worrying about that. And so we walk around with these bubbles around us that are prickly. They're negative. They hurt to look at. You've been in the presence of somebody that was painful to be around. They didn't have to say anything. The energy. So my challenge for the rest of today is to change that and have a bubble around you that's full of light and love on purpose in every situation. Part two is to then report. Report. Reach out on one of the socials or something, or go to Kellen Flukiger Media and connect with me. Tell me what you experienced. I would love to know what happened. Okay. The last thing I want to talk about is I want to relate this to something we've talked about before, fear and insecurity. Now, that may not be an issue for you, but fear and insecurity was a huge issue for me. I was always afraid I was going to fail. I was afraid I was going to get laughed at, looked down on. I was insecure about my looks. I was insecure about my presence. I was insecure about everything. I made up for that by being smart. Read lots of books, encyclopedias and stuff. That's when I was younger in school. And when I got in the business world, I made up for that insecurity by learning all I could and, you know, trying to know everything so I would never fail. And that obviously doesn't work. And neither one of those strategies are very effective for very long. But the strategies aren't important. What I want to give you is a more powerful strategy. If you struggle with fear of what others think, or fear of that you'll fail, or fear of what you'll look like, or fear of any of that stuff, or insecurity about your own skill, ability, talent, if you're this, that, and the other, if you've experienced those, raise your hand. Here's a secret key that will unlock the cure for that immediately. Serve each other. Serve. Go at every interaction with kindness, generosity, and service. Nobody can diss someone who's being nice. Nobody can judge you for trying to be kind. Nobody can say, oh, you're stupid and wrong because you're being of service and you're making a choice to add good to the world. So if you want to eliminate insecurity, if you want to eliminate fear from your interactions with others and from your own heart, dive into doing good. And let's talk about why that works. Nobody can diss you when you're being kind and generous and full of service. Nobody can diss you. It's like you can't be angry and laughing at the same time. Just can't happen. So make a choice to be full of kindness, generosity, and service. And you know what? You won't have time to be self-conscious. You won't have time to be worried about what other people are thinking. And you know what? They're going to be thinking, wow, they sure are nice. Wow, that was thoughtful. I wonder why they did that. Wow, I wish I would remember to do that. That's what will actually be going on. Now, in this world today, full of bitterness, full of name-calling, full of divisions, full of everybody thinking they know more than everybody else, you know, everybody that doesn't think the way I do, stupid and wrong, and, you know, with violence and anger and everything to enforce that, be different. Be weird. Be full on purpose, just because you can, of kindness, generosity, and service. I can promise you right here, right now, that if you do that, your life will change. Huh. You will notice a remarkable difference. One, in how you feel about yourself. Two, in how others view you. Three, in how they treat you. Four, in how they talk about you. And five, in the opportunities that come your way. Opportunities that will include business opportunities, social opportunities, and so forth. All of those things are absolutely going to happen if you take my challenge and choose to live in kindness because you can, in generosity because you can, in service because you can. I challenge you to do that, to make some conscious changes, even little ones, and hold on to them for a week or a month. I also invite you to share with me what happens. I invite you to connect with me on any social and tell me what happens. Above all, I can promise you that if you choose kindness, generosity, and service as your sort of base operating system, your worldview will change, your heart will be lighter, you will feel connected to more people, you will be able to see and grasp a life purpose you love. You will create prosperity both in spirit, in your heart, and in your bank account, and you will live with overflowing joy. That's a bold promise. I make it because I know it, I live it, I've seen it, not only for me, but for others. I love you, no matter where you are or what's going on. You're a divine being and a beautiful soul. And everything that I'm doing is to give you tools, frameworks, encouragement, and love so you can create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.